Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. And today, I want to ask you, how does the Declaration of Independence speak to the necessity of abolishing our present form of government, which has been so destructive of our rights in recent history, and then instituting a new form of government, which our founding fathers, and Thomas Jefferson in particular in the Declaration of Independence, said from time to time that a people has to do. You know, over the last few broadcasts, I have been arguing for the necessity of establishing a worldwide government composed of a Congress of Christian constitutional republics. The time has come. The juncture in history when this is necessitated is upon us, dear listener. We see the world moving ever closer to a world government. A world government will happen. Right now, that world government is being shaped by forces that are completely unaffected by either the people or God. I articulated very clearly, systematically, over one particular broadcast that indeed a worldwide elite composed of the super rich and their lackeys, world politicians, have been securing their rights, their benefits, their wealth, their prosperity at the expense of ours. What we need is a worldwide awakening to these facts and then an immediate spiritual awakening to Christ and his gospel. I'm not saying that a Congress of Christian constitutional republics will happen without the majority of people in the world being Christians. This will not happen without the providence of God, without a worldwide evangelization of the peoples, and then a labor towards establishing Christian constitutional republics throughout the world, in particular countries, each, of course, with their own particular flavor and characteristics, but being essentially, nevertheless, Christian constitutional republics. And for this to happen, it's going to have to begin somewhat here. We are going to have to reclaim our heritage and make an impact for improvement by making of our constitutional an explicit Christian constitutional republic. But that's going to have to be secured first. And we can help do that as history sometimes focuses our thoughts. And in this case, the Declaration of Independence helps to guide us as to when we indeed need to throw off the tyranny that presently oppresses us and establish a Christian constitutional republic. The Declaration of Independence is very clear. It gives us at least 30 examples and instances of oppression and tyranny when the bar has been reached. So I want to review then, continue in our review of the Declaration of Independence and how it speaks to us this day as to when tyranny is upon us. Now, last time we looked at the prologue of the Declaration of Independence, right? When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, right? That was the prologue introducing the cause of the Americans, the cause of the Constitutional Republic. And then we also looked at the prime directive of government, that eloquent, soaring passage. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That, of course, is the prime directive of government. We spoke to that and reviewed that as well. And then we also looked at the prudent qualification that Jefferson incorporated into the Declaration, that prudent qualification, where he says prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And today, what we want to look at then finally is Jefferson's and by signing the assent of the founders as well, as to the undeniable circumstances of the people. There were indeed undeniable circumstances which dictated a revolution, which dictated establishing a new form of government. And let's come to that right now then. The undeniable circumstances of the people. And with these, Jefferson writes, But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. That is, then, the undeniable circumstances of the people, which Jefferson articulated very clearly and eloquently. The abuses of and trampling over the rights of the colonists were not isolated incidences, were they? Occurring here and there, and could quickly be remedied by the king and parliament if they had will to do so? No. A prudent man could let such abuses pass. But rather, these abuses and usurpations were consistent and sustained, such that an intelligent man could see a conspiracy, if you will, or as Jefferson puts it, a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. Indeed, a conspiracy is nothing more than an observation of a design, right? A pattern, a plan. And in this case, king and parliament designed to reduce the colonies under absolute despotism. And such is the pass to which we, I submit to you, we, the heirs of the Declaration, such is the pass to which we have come in the 21st century. Any intelligent man or woman with their eyes open, who are awake, can see the pattern and direction in which the abuse of our rights leads. It leads to absolute despotism and tyranny. What then? Are we to appeal to God and wait for a miracle? Do we have a reluctant permission from God to change things? No. According to our founding fathers, it is our right, it is our duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for our future security. If Jefferson and the founding fathers were alive today, they would be apoplectic with us because we have not been willing to throw off. We have not been willing to seize our right and our duty. Are you listening out there, armchair patriot? You who waves the flag at the parade on the 4th of July and then you vote every 4 years for president, but otherwise you leave the struggle for liberty to others? Oh, the founding fathers would be apoplectic with us. They would be goading. They would be exhorting. They would be chiding us, indeed, to throw off such government as we now live tyrannically under. Not only is it your right, Mr. Armchair Patriot, but it is your duty to throw off tyrannical government and to become an integral part of forming a free government. Our founding fathers did it for themselves, and they did it for us, their posterity, right? It is up to you to do it for yourself and for your posterity. What will your children say about you? Oh, my dad was lazy, sitting on the sofa watching football games and drinking beer. Ah, how will our children judge us? How will they look back on us? Will they be grateful in that we did the right thing and we fought, win or lose? Or will they say in their hearts, Pops, you're a lazy, ignorant coward. You frittered away our heritage. Indeed, that is the circumstance that presents before us supporting facts as well. And we find then, as we look at the Declaration of Independence, we find the supporting facts, over 30 of them. And I would make a case that these 30 particular facts, which support the allegations articulated previously, are all relevant today. They all obtain today because, really, evil never changes. Tyranny never changes. It has a different face with a different generation, but the actions and the behaviors of tyranny are always the same. Well, this particular supporting facts include? And let me articulate for you, first of all, the first fact. If you have the declaration before you, these are often just kind of glided over. We like the soaring rhetoric of the opening passages, but the mundane particulars we often pass over or ignore if we are indeed going to be free men ourselves and establish a Christian constitutional republic, then we must needs look at the particular facts of tyranny. And here they are. Number one, he, that is King George III, has refused his assent to laws necessary for the public good. Now, this first one is there first because it is chief. It is so important. King George I vetoed popular legislation of the colonists. Tyranny. One man. This was pure tyranny on the king's part, and there was no such thing as a veto override at that time that Parliament had or that the colonists had. Congress, indeed, ensured when the Constitution was composed that Congress had a veto override to secure legislation. Article 1, Section 7, Paragraph 2 provides for this remedy. We have a constitutional right for a king. When he tyrannizes the people, right, with a two-thirds majority, the legislature can override a veto of the president, lest he become a king. We now have a constitutional remedy for a king when he tyrannizes the people. What we need today, however, is a remedy for the deep state when it tyrannizes the people. For indeed, I submit to you, the components, the members of the institutions of the deep state have refused assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. For example, in 1986, I go back to California. It passed a ballot initiative to make English the official state language. It was struck down by the California Supreme Court. The same happened with people's initiatives to limit appropriations as a constitutional amendment. And then the marriage amendment, famous in 2008, I remember this, that limited marriage to that between a man and a woman. Oh, struck down by the California Supreme Court. Indeed, a crucial component of the deep state. The deep state has done the same thing again and again to popular legislation, like reversing Obamacare. There's a special place in hell for a man like John McCain, who was so bitter and angry for having lost the presidency and seen, indeed, Donald Trump succeed where he failed. A bitter old man, John McCain, died, and just to get his vengeance, he indeed voted against the elimination of and the overhaul of Obamacare, right? Or maybe building a wall at the southern border. This is popular with the people. Trump was elected, in some sense, primarily to build that southern border wall, but it has been frustrated by the deep state. The people have wanted dozens of legislative measures which have been most wholesome and necessary for the public good, which the deep state, like a tyrant, like King George III, nameless and faceless, but just as tyrannical as King George III, the deep state has denied us our legislation because they stand in the way of securing the wealth and prosperity of a global elite. This is those for whom the deep state acts today, not for us. Not for the people, not for the good and wealth and prosperity of the people, but rather that of a global elite, as I have articulated week after week for you. Indeed, politicians, government has always been the handmaiden of the rich and the wealthy. And indeed, if government has been the handmaiden of the wealthy over history, then our politicians have been the absolute prostitutes, the whores of the rich, been bought and sold by the rich in order to secure the wealth and the circumstances of a global elite. That is what the deep state's primary mission is today. And this is why we need to throw off the tyranny of the deep state. For decades, the people have sought legislation which would be most wholesome and necessary, as Jefferson puts it, for our good. For example, the repeal of the onerous constitutional amendments that are proven contrary to a free people, like the 16th Amendment, which provides for a direct tax on income. Oh, and then the corollary of the International banks, right? Or the 17th Amendment, which provided for direct election of senators by the people rather than the respective state legislatures. This has proved onerous as well. We've also had legislation then frustrated by, vetoed by, upturned by the deep state to balance the budget, maybe, to eliminate useless and tyrannical bureaucracies like the Environmental Protection Agency or the National Education Administration or the Internal Revenue Service. All of these have been consistently thwarted by the deep state. Oh, the very first one then that was brought forward by our founding fathers and by Thomas Jefferson is true of us. That is, the king has refused his assent to laws most wholesome necessary for the public good. Well, the deep state has done the very same thing in our day. Secondly, he has also then forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, attend to them. Yes, King George III let other legislation languish on his desk, effectively vetoing it. If I don't sign it, it can't become law, right? It's a classic passive-aggressive behavior employed by tyrants. And it's one of the reasons why our Constitution then provides in Article 1, Section 7, Paragraph 2, that if the president doesn't sign legislation passed by Congress within 10 days, it automatically becomes law as if he had signed it. Thank you, King George. Indeed, our Constitution wisely makes for this provision. But that does not stop the deep state in our own day from practicing this subtle destructive behavior, passive-aggressive behavior. The illegal immigration issue is Exhibit A. Progressive politicians do not want to stem the tide of illegal immigration because it gives them an issue to demagogue at election time and then ostensibly gives them voters to elect them into office, too. Establishment Republican politicians do not want to turn off the spigot of illegal immigration because it supplies their corporate big agricultural supporters and contributors with cheap labor. And so it becomes convenient for all concerned in the deep state to look the other way as if nothing was happening, even as our southern border becomes an open sewer of terrorism, disease, drug smuggling, and human trafficking. In the same kind of passive-aggressive attitude of King George III that provoked our founding fathers to rebellion is driving us today with the passive-aggressive attitude of the deep state. Well, then, we also have a third complaint in the Declaration of Independence, which goes like this. He, that is King George, has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. Oh, this one gets me. King George wouldn't sign legislation passed by the people's representatives unless those same people declined to be represented by the members of the Continental Congress they chose. What a convoluted twist of fate. What intimidation. In effect, King George was saying, I won't recognize those acts passed by your representatives unless you forsake their representation. Can you see why the colonists were at their wits' end with the king? King George III had such an overweening sense of his own paternalistic goodwill toward these that he thought he knew what was best for his subjects. And he was offended that they wanted representatives other than himself to decide what was best for them. Oh, it's the same devil's bargain being made by the deep state to progressives everywhere. We'll give you what you want. That is free stuff like college and health care, a guaranteed minimum wage, a yada, 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 all those things that are being thrown up and thrown out by the progressives in the Democrat Party running for the nomination of that party. And we'll give you all these things in exchange for free market choices. Your liberty, your freedom to choose is being taken away. Let Big Daddy government make those decisions for you. We will rob some of you of your vote by impeaching a president who threatens our soft circumstances we have for ourselves over the deep state. We will create massive bureaucracies with virtual legislative power over you for your own safety and for your own good, who have technical account with Congress, but which virtually go unchecked. Go on and on in this section. All of these situations, the deep state has adopted the same paternalistic attitude. We know better. Give us your liberties and we'll give you stuff. Well, as well that the founders had against the king for redress of grievances, and that is he has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them. Compliance with his measures. Brothers and sisters, hasn't the deep state done this to us throughout the last few decades? It's the old trick of bureaucratic red tape. Yes, it was not unknown in colonial days. King George III and Parliament, for that matter, practiced the old technique of red tape to tie up liberty, make things so difficult and arduous and complicated that you just give up. You surrender your liberty for convenience. Most individuals cannot file their taxes by themselves today. Most businesses cannot do employee payroll in-house without great expense. And just try and get a building permit in a major metropolitan city. Donald Trump should have been unanimously declared president just for having successfully done this for most of his career in building, right? Or even try and drain a swamp on your own property, much less in Washington, D.C. Try and drain a swamp on your own property without running afoul of the Environmental Protection Agency, for example. One ski resort near us is tied up in red tape. Ski resort has been trying to get a new ski lift built for years and years, but the permitting has held them up, cost them an additional multi-thousands of dollars that will be reflected in the lift tickets that I buy as a skier. And it's all because it might threaten the environment of a frog. This is just a deliberate. Even the frog is nothing but a beer environmentalist who don't want to see any ski lift built, right? And so, while most people express exasperation at what we all know has become the status quo all over the state and federal government, red tape has become a means to rob you of your liberties, dear listener. Few of us recognize that it is a favorite tactic of tyrants to oppress the people. Yes, and then we go on with a fifth complaint. That is, he has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his the people. Oh, yes. In England, the king had to call sessions of parliament, and he could dismiss them at any time. And in the colonies, too, he could do the same. In fact, he had completely dissolved them with an eye to reconstitute them at a later date. And this King George III did with impunity. But number six, he has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for them. The state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsion within. In a classical passive-aggressive tactic, this is what this one describes, number six here, or F in my accounting. In a classical passive-aggressive tactic, the king would take his time reconstituting those colonial legislatures, if he did it at all. And in the meantime, things of immediate and pressing concern presented themselves, like tribal uprisings on the frontier, or there were pirates on the seas as well, or legislation to regulate a growing commerce between the colonies. The colonies were flourishing and burgeoning, if indeed the hands of tyranny were kept off of them. What the people were forced to do was call their own Continental Congress without the permission of the king. These surreptitious legislatures were called committees of correspondence, and they operated as representatives of the people in lieu of the king's toadies. Now, it's reaching a point in our own day when perhaps it is necessary for Americans to elect alternative legislatures ourselves, to rise up in a popular revolution and elect representatives who will do the will of the people instead of the will of the global elite and the deep state. and all that would remain is to determine where and when they would meet and how they would assert their newfound authority over the present system. And all of this would be would meet, of course, with strenuous and violent opposition from the powers that be. No tyrant ever relinquished power without violent resistance, and we should not expect anything different from the deep state. And quickly, I think we would discover who is willing to live free or die. Quickly, we shall find out who is a summer soldier and a sunshine patriot, and who is the one willing to stand fast for freedom, as Thomas Paine would put it. Which are you, dear listener? Well, this has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We're going through the particulars then of the Declaration of Independence to see if they do not imply, indeed, in fact, today. And I urge you to continue to listen with us and also to join us for worship on Sunday. New Geneva meets for holy worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. We're going through the Book of Revelation right now, and we indeed encourage you to join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. Our Bible study is indeed meeting as well, our study of the Book of Revelation. We've changed our venue, though. We're now meeting at Leo's Place on Thursday at 7 p.m., and we encourage you to join us. Leo's is on the corner of First and Holmes, and it's a great place for us to meet for our Bible study. Join us there, 7 p.m. on Thursdays, and also join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. You can call us for further information and feedback at area code 208-523-0196. That's area code 208-523-0196.